through your body and your blood that you gave for us. And so as we continue forward in our worship time, Lord, help us to be mindful of your Spirit who indwells us, that we can listen to your word and give you glory. And that's all that matters. And that's all we get to do for all of eternity is give you glory. And it'll be a wondrous, wondrous time to give you glory for all eternity. It'll be the most wonderful experience we can possibly imagine and beyond. It's to give you glory. We love you so. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, Karen, you good back there as far as recording? Thanks so much. Hey, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Galatians 4 today. Galatians 4. You know, one thing that I keep thinking of, you know, on the right side of the mirror where it says in a small print, the right side of the mirror of your car, what it says? Objects in mirror are closer than they appear. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing this, 50 appears closer than you appear. People make fun of me because of my beard. I got a gray beard going on, so I look kind of funny. And this past week, I've told several people this past week, my wife went to a hairstylist to kind of work on her hair a little bit. And I said, when you get done coloring her hair, do you mind coloring my beard if you have any left over so we'd match? It didn't work out. But anyway, the reason I say that is because as I approach 50, there's something that comes to mind that has influenced me the most. That has influenced me the most when it comes to my life, and I bet it's the same for you. There's something that all of us experience every day of our life that's challenging and sometimes even frightful. Any idea what that could be? And it's not the cattle market. It's relationships. It's relationships. Can I get an amen? Do relationships challenge you? Are some relationships more challenging than others? Have you noticed this about relationships? That in relationships, there's always, always at some point, some kind of what? Conflict, okay? Or how about pain? So all of us have experienced an emotional pain. All of us experience spiritual pain, mental pain, and even the obvious physical pain. And all those pains in some way, shape, form, or fashion have been caused by, at one point, perhaps even, a what? A relationship. So what is a Christian to do? Because we Christians are commanded to be in what? Relationships. We're commanded to be in relationships. Now, some of us can think, wait a minute, preacher, I don't know about you, but I'd prefer to be a monk. I'd just prefer to stay in a cave and not have anybody around me. That way I don't have to deal with anybody, right? I get that, okay? But before we go that route, we have to understand something. We're actually, as we look at the Apostle Paul, he's going to share with us his heart today. Okay, he's going to share with us his heart. And as he shares with us his heart, it helps us understand how to be in relationships. Let's go to that second screen, Karen, if you don't mind. So the second screen tells us that Jesus has commanded us to be actually in relationships. And so as I read through this text, you read the underline, okay? You read the underline. So here we go. All authority has been given to me, this is Jesus talking, in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to command all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, as you look at the underline, what do they all have in common? Their actions true with who? Jesus and people. Okay, God works people. If you look at the commandment he gives every single Christian, there's at least, that I can see, 1, 2, 3, 4 relational qualities in just that commandment. So God has called us, Jesus has commanded us to be in what? Relationships. Now, before you run out the door, because you want to hear the sermon, I want to share with you something. I know this is painful to hear, because sometimes relationships are so challenging. And because here's a challenge for all of us as people. How can I choose to be in relationships with somebody when I know they'll what? Hurt me. They're going to hurt me. I know it's going to happen. They're going to hurt me and they're going to harm me. How do I do that? And I believe Paul understands this. Because as you look at the Apostle Paul, Paul peels back his rough exterior and he shares with us how the church of Jesus Christ and the churches of Galatia are doing what to him? They're hurting him. They're absolutely hurting him. And it's not easy. It's not easy to realize that there's a very real part in church life, and this is it. People hurt us. We expect that the least in church life, that people have hurt us, but this is what happens. So let's look how the man of God handles this, okay? So if you got your Bibles, we're in Galatians 4, and here's how we're going to tackle today with the Apostle Paul, all right? Third screen there, Karen. So, plead for a connection with others in the church. Plead for a connection with others in the church. Look at verse 12 of Galatians 4. Paul says, I what? Plead. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I've become like you. You have done me no wrong. Let's face it. There are times in the church that people don't like each other. What? Yep, that's true. There's times in church that people don't like each other. And the Galatian church was no different. Paul was facing that. They were no longer wanting to connect with Paul and Paul's teachings. And Paul was challenged by this. And he was challenged by this because you look at what he says in the text. He says that he gave up parts of his life to help people get away from their sin. You say, what does that look like, preacher? Here's what it looks like, okay? If I look at this next verse, can you see the next verse there, Karen? There it is. He says, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save, how many? Some. So here's what Paul telling us. Look, folks, I came to Galatia, and I came to live like you and be in your community, and I came to give up some of the things that I like to do so I could connect with you. And the reason Paul wants to connect with people is for what reason? Bottom three words. Might save some. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted to save some people, okay? So Paul's mindset, think about this. Paul's mindset is to peer into the minds of others to connect with them, to relate to them, so he might what? Save some. That's the whole mentality. For us as Christians, we realize this. Are relationships scary? Yeah, they are. They're very scary. But as you think about that, relationships are scary. Next screen there, Karen. Relationships are scary. How would it help to remember, think about this, how would it help to remember that the end goal is to relate to people, to help people, to see their need to be saved from their sin? Think about that. Yes, relationships are scary, but how would it help to understand that your goal is to relate to them, to help them be saved from their sin, okay? So let's look at our second point today, and it's this. Remember your positive history with one another, your positive history with one another. I found this to be true about myself. I don't know if it's true for you, but I know it's true for me, is that I can find myself at times remembering the negative parts about people. Do you do that? You see, it's something I know about me, and I don't like it about me very well. Someone can give me their left kidney, but I'll remember the most recent negative comment more than anything else. Let's try this, Karen. For some reason, it's not working. There's a sermon outline there. So I'm going to say that again. Sometimes I can find myself remember more the negative things than the positive things. So, for example, someone can give me their right arm, but I'll still remember the most recent negative thing they've done to me. Can anybody else relate to that? Just me? Doggone it. Okay, there are a couple of us. Thanks, Carla. All right. So if you look at what's happening here through the Apostle Paul, look at verse 13 and 14. Paul says this, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Verse 14, even though my illness was a trial to you, you do not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcome me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Now, there's lots of speculation as to what illness Paul had, but let's just get the point straight. Paul was sick. He showed up to all these churches to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And they weren't churches yet. They're just plain people. He showed up to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. How impressive would it be for a guy to show up into your place in your town and say, look, you need to worship the God of the universe, and I'm sicker than a dog? How impressive is that? That's not very impressive. And not only was it not impressive, think about this as well. It wasn't impressive in the fact that he says, hey, look, God can heal all things, but you know what? I'm sick. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. He says, I'm sick. What? How can that be? And so Paul is saying, look, you guys have treated me when you came here. You treated me with utter respect. You were kind to me and wonderful to me. And Paul says, look here, look at the verse again. He says, you have done me no wrong, verse 12. He's not beating them up verbally. He's sharing with them that they did a wonderful thing for him. Friend, this is a great example for us as church people. Listen, as church people, we've got to do this. Remember your positive history with others. Remember your positive history with people. Don't forget that. Remember your positive history with people. And what do you think Jesus does? Think about this. What do you think Jesus did with your negative relational history against him when you were in sin? What do you think he did? Okay, think about that. Jesus, he forgets it, and not only that, can we do no less for our fellow Christian? Jesus forgot your sin. Certainly we can too. Or leastwise, make that attempt to do so. Look at the next verse we have there. It's going to be reflect on the joy of serving one another. Reflect on the joy of serving one another. And it's Galatians 4, 15 to 16. Look what the Bible says. Paul is, again, talking to the churches of Galatia. Remember, there's several house churches here. Not one church like we have here, but several house churches. And this letter gets circulated to all these house churches. And that's what Paul's saying. What has happened to all your joy? And some of your translation says blessing. What's happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you would have done so, you could have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Look, I'm not sure why it happens, but I know it's happened to me, and I bet it's probably happened to you. Some way or another, we lose joy in what? Serving. We lose joy in serving people. And Paul has seen a lack of joy in the Galatian churches. And it pains him to watch this because at one time they were willing to do so much for him. Even he says, give up your eyes for me. You know, it's like something we would say in our modern day. They were so nice they'd give up their right arm, left arm, okay? That's what we say. He's saying the same thing to the Galatian churches. And the Christians in the Galatian churches were joyless. They had lost their joy in serving Paul. The very guy who brought them the good news to be saved from their sin, they're now joyless to look at. And so what happened? Why do we stop having joy to serve people? Why does it happen? Well, he tells us, if you don't mind, in looking at verse 16. Look at verse 16 again. Paul tells us. He says, have I now become your enemy by telling you what? The truth. The truth. Have you ever had a time in your life when you didn't want to hear the truth from anybody? Man, Vern's on us. Here we go. Okay. Come on, have you? Have you ever had a time in your life when you didn't want to hear the truth from anybody? In particular, have you had a point in your life where you had a good friend or good family member tell you the truth, but you didn't want to? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to have it in my life at all. Or maybe if something comes to mind like this, you had a good friend in your church family, and you now seethe as you consider looking at interacting with them because for some way along the line, you're convicted that there's truth there. And you don't like what you got. And so I think Paul's asking the question. I think he's asking the question the churches in Galatia. Okay, here's what he's asking the churches in Galatia. Could it be the reason you don't find joy in serving a certain person anymore is because you are not following the truth in some area of your life? You don't enjoy serving anymore because it's you're not following the truth in some area of your life. And here's the truth. The truth is, in some place in our lives, all of us know this is true, some place we're wrong. Some place in our life we are not following the truth and we don't want the truth. And we want to call that person the enemy so that we don't have to admit what? That we're wrong. The truth. Okay? The second one, the next point is this. Reflect on what you are zealous about. I'm going to go back. Reflect on what you are zealous about, okay? And so if you look at that in Galatians 4, 17 and 18, okay? Galatians 4, 17 and 18, this is what the Bible says. Those people, now remember, those people in the churches are doing this. You got one group of people who says you got to follow the Mosaic law to get to heaven. And you got another group of people who say, now wait a minute. I don't have to do works of law. I just have to have faith in who? Jesus, but these people are going, no, you got to have more than that. So here's what's happening. Paul, I'm reading again, verse 17. Those people, that's people here following the Mosaic law, are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you. And so as I look at the Apostle Paul, here's what he's saying. There's something you like to talk about. Think about it. there's someone that comes in your life and they'll say a certain word, and that certain buzzword, it has you, and it, just as soon as you hear it, what do? Yeah, I like that topic. And so you just keep going with it. You just keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And all it takes is one sentence and you're just going off and running on that topic. And Paul says the same thing is happening in the church in Galatia. He says what's happening is the group of people in the Galatian churches who really wanted other Christians to follow them were working the elements. They were working and manipulating people. And here's how they did it, okay? So they were acting eager and excited to see him. So let's say, for example, I was on the group here in the Mosaic side, and Vern comes to church, and he's on the Christian side, okay? The follow Jesus side, I'm on the follow Mosaic side. Vern comes, hey, Vern, glad to see you. So glad you're in church today. Okay, Vern says, great. And so the next Sunday, hey, Vern, so glad to see you today, okay? And then the next, hey, Vern, so glad to see you. Last time we're hugging, okay? And then the next time we come, hey, Vern, so glad to see you. And this time we're kissing. Okay. Anyway, the point is, every Sunday I keep telling Vern, glad to see you, glad to see you, so glad to see you. And after a while, Vern goes, man, I kind of like going to church. Because every time I show up, what does he get? He gets attention. He has somebody at church who's zealous for him. Hey, Vern, so glad to see you. Everybody knows your name, okay? And he's so glad to see you. Vern, it's on his shirt. It makes it handy for me. So as I say that, here's what happens. After a while, Vern begins to say, that Jeff guy really likes me at church with him. I need to go more often, be around him. So he starts being around me more often, and then here's what starts to happen. Hey, Vern, so glad to see you, man. You've been coming to church so often, so much. Vern, I really have concerns about the Apostle Paul. You see what happened just then? You see, I was zealous for Vern in such a way that I won him over, and as I win him over, I then have what? Influence. As I have influence, the people in that church were doing that in the Galatian churches. They're having influence, and they're trying to influence the people away from who? The Apostle Paul and Jesus. And that's what's happening. Now look back at the text. As you look back at the text, here's what happened. They were starting to alienate themselves from the Apostle Paul. These people are zealous to win you over. They no longer want Vern to be a part of the Christian church. They want Vern to be a part of the Mosaic church. They're trying to win him. They're zealous for him, influence. But Paul also noticed this. They were influencing these people, zealous those people to do those things. And then I look again at the Bible, and it says, so that you, what they want is to alienate you from us. Okay, they're separating themselves from the Apostle Paul so that you may be zealous for them. They want Vern to be just as zealous for them. So we find each other being zealous for one another. And as we're zealous for one another, guess who we're not zealous for? The Apostle Paul and his teaching. I keep reading the Bible. It is fine to be zealous, provided that purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you. Paul noticed this. Paul noticed that these people were begin to have a group, an influence in the church. They were zealous for one another. And then Paul comes in the midst, and guess how they act? Hey, Paul, great to see you. I love the letter you wrote to us. We've been reading that every Sunday we get together. So glad to see you. And then Paul leaves, and then what do they do? They're with each other all over again. Paul comes in the room. Hey, Paul, so glad to see you. And Paul points that out in verse 18. He says, fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good. And to be so always, not just when? When Paul is with them. So they're only zealous for Paul when he's around and his teachings. And so this is what happened in the church. So it really brings up a good question for us. And it really does. And we really need to ask the question, what are you zealous or eager about? Think about it. What are you zealous or eager about? And the question we have for ourselves is, if I can get that to go again, if you are zealous or eager for someone or something, might it be asked, how come? How come? Why are you zealous? How come? Okay? If it's for Christ, that's a good purpose. If it's not for Christ, it's not a good purpose. Okay? Now, the next one I really appreciate about Paul and his life and how he shares with us what's going on inside him. If I look in Galatians 4, 19 and 20, okay, Galatians 4, 19 and 20, Paul says this, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed about you. Has anybody ever perplexed you? I mean, think about that. When you think of the Apostle Paul, what comes to mind? Just say a word out there. What's an adjective you have for the Apostle Paul? Zealous, okay. What else, Kay? Persecuted, okay. I think of a guy who's tough. I think he's just tougher than nails. I think he's a John Wayne in the New Testament. I think he's just tough. He's a tough dude. I think if you ever got in a verbal argument with Paul, you would lose hand down and be TKO pretty quick. Pretty quick. He could just work you around and just work you over, okay? Paul says something. If you look again, Paul says something in verse 19. The first three words, what are they? My dear children. There's one thing I really don't like to say a lot, and for me as a person, because I consider myself kind of a bigger person, I don't like the word to use cute. It sounds too flowery and pink for me. But I say it sometimes when I talk about my girls. Paul says, tough guy of the New Testament, my dear children. Why is Paul saying that? Why is he saying that? Well, remember, before Paul came to Galatia to talk to these peoples of Galatia, did they have a faith? No. They had no faith. And Paul's saying, when I came here, I showed you the way of Jesus Christ. I showed you how to have a faith. Paul is referring to himself as their spiritual father, and he's calling them his dear children. They are words of endearment. Look at this next verse that Paul says. How I wish I could be with you. Do you hear his heart? How I wish I could be with you and change my tone. I am so perplexed about you. And think about this. Have you ever had someone's actions totally shock you? Think about it. Have you ever had someone's actions totally shock you? I mean, this person, you can't even think about a heart. It just shocks you, their actions. You think about how you responded to that. So when someone shocks you that's close to you, do you keep your voice quiet and are you always nice? Remember, Paul says, how I wish to change my tone with you. Now, when someone really messes up big time, most of us do what? Shout, yell, scream, throw a fit. Can't believe you did this. What are you thinking? And you hear Paul saying that in this verse. He says, I'm so perplexed by you. How I wish I could change my tone. It just has him. Look, do you know why you say it what you do with the tone that you say it when you talk to people that have really messed up big time? Do you know why? Because you love them. You love them. And you want what for them? The best. You want a better outcome than what they're giving themselves. You want something better for them than what they're taking. And if you can understand that, you can understand the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, I want so much more for you. There's love I have for you, and the outcome that you're getting for yourself is not the outcome I want for you. And love's outcome is always the best. And Paul says, look, verse 19, look at what it says again. He says, verse 19, I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed with you. I've never been pregnant. I know that doesn't shock you. I've never been pregnant, but I've been witness to my four children being born, and as I observe my wife post-labor, it's very tiring, painful, and exhausting experience. Would you ladies agree that I've had babies? It's challenging, isn't it? But one thing I know is this. As my wife was going through the pains of childbirth and that child was born, the moment that child was taken out of that physician's hand and placed in the chest of my wife, guess what my wife's face looked like? Joy. Wow. And at that moment, you say, it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. And then you try to, you have to tell yourself that again when they turn 16. Okay. It's worth it. Look what Jesus says about childbirth. Look at this verse on the scripture here, verse on the screen. Remember, when you're perplexed, remember the pain you feel, the desire to see Christ revealed. Next screen there, Karen. If you look at the scripture that Jesus is sharing with us, it's slide 13. Whenever a woman, go back, there you go. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain. This is Jesus talking to us in John 16, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. And so we hear a word analogy here. A word analogy. And Paul is saying this to the church in Galatia. You see, Paul is telling us he's willing to labor as if in childbirth for these people in the Galatian churches that Christ may be born in them. He wants Christ born in them. Okay, that's what he wants. He wants to see Christ born in them. I know you don't remember this, many of you don't, but some of you remember Etha Pearl. Remember Etha Pearl? Etha Pearl Ray? Okay. She was Etha Pearl Goff. Remember Etha Pearl Goff? I think the Goffs grew up, well, north of town here for a little bit. But Etha Pearl was immersed into Christ here, I think, by Ted. What was Ted's last name? Remember? Morlock. I think in 1985. And right back here. I think it's right back here. But anyway, that's not the story I'm trying to say. The story I'm trying to say is Etha Pearl, my kids and I would go over and see Etha Pearl at the nursing home a lot. And she's a neat lady. She knew everything about everybody. I was amazed at just the plethora of information this woman had in her brain. And inevitably, she would tell me at least once a conversation, I probably shouldn't say this. And then I finally got caught up the idea. I said, well, then don't say it, Ethy. Don't say it. But she would go ahead and say it. But she told me of a story one time, and I don't remember the timeline of her life, but obviously she was childbearing age. She told me of a story in her life and when she went overdue in a pregnancy. She went overdue in a pregnancy, and when the baby was finally born, and the kids and I were not sure of the weight of the baby, but she had, I'm going to give you a range because we don't recall, she had between a 13 and 15-pound baby, stillborn. Stillborn. Now, I don't know what that's like to carry a child and then to have a child stillborn to you. But I know for Ethy, even that many years later, she told that with tears in her eyes. She had labored and labored and labored, and that child died. Now, I'm of the mindset in Scripture bear it out that those people go straight to the arms of Jesus. Amen. Why do I say that? Because the Apostle Paul and Etha Pearl just taught me something. That the pain you feel, listen to this, that the pain you feel when people are turning away from Jesus Christ is the pain of the labor you endured. You so desperately want to see Christ birthed and alive. And Paul says, I'm in labor again, folks. I've done this already to you Galatian people, and I'm in labor again. I've done this before. I'm going to keep laboring that Christ can be born into this world through you. That's what he's saying. And then Paul and Etha Pearl also taught us something else. Last screen there, Karen, is that when you are hurt over seeing someone lost from birthing Christ in their life, remind yourself of this. You've got to remind yourself of this. Labor is a painful process, but so worth it when Christ is born in them. One more click, Karen. And that is this: keep laboring. Keep laboring. Keep laboring. One more click there, Karen. Keep laboring. Just click the down cursor. Keep laboring. Keep laboring. You see, I don't know the timeline when Etha Pearl had that stillborn, but I believe she went on to have two more sons. And so I'm telling you, she experienced that terrible, traumatic childbirth that didn't happen for her, but she kept laboring and got pregnant again and went back through the labor process again for the outcome, which was a child. And I'm telling you the same thing, church. Don't stop laboring. I get it that people don't get it. And it's painful, and it's hurtful, and it's harmful, and it hurts you. But I'm telling you, don't give up on the outcome that Jesus Christ could be born into their life. Keep laboring. Because I'm telling you, friends, what someday when you graduate from this good earth and you get to be in the greatest place on on the universe, which is heaven, and you see them, meet them face to face, you will have said to yourself, and Jesus will put it in your mind, I'm so glad I labored over you that Christ can be born. Because will it be worth it then, church? Yeah, it'll be worth it. Keep laboring. Let's stand together and we'll pray. Jesus, we love you. And we love you so very much, Jesus. And we know, Jesus, that you want us to keep laboring. We get that. We just get it. But it's so painful. Relationships are so challenging. And the people we want to see Christ birthed in their life the most seem to reject us the most. And that's the way the truth is, Lord. The people who want to see Christ revealed in their life the most, they reject us the most. And that is so painful. Jesus, speak to our heart and help us not to stop laboring. And Lord, we lay everything at your feet and we love you so much. And we pray in your name. Amen. All right, Karen, last song if you don't mind. Thank you. connect with me. I'd be glad to talk with you. Huey and Kay are here. Vernie Lane are here too. And before you leave today, make sure you